Vet Voice, Madam Commander. The October edition of the American Legion magazine is no doubt the best you have published in years. The articles on veterans, amputees, and nurses' service during the Vietnam War and World War I were outstanding and educational. Lastly, Matt Grill's article on National Commander Denise H. Rohan covered fully what an exceptional person she is. The American Legion is in good hands under her leadership. Troy Martin, Vienna, West Virginia. Goodbye and good luck. The article by Grace E. F. Holmes about the stories of World War I nurses brought tears. I now have one more story for social studies students when I substitute teach, if they behave all, period. If only children's textbooks would get closer to the military who served and suffered, history class would be more appealing. For instance, one half-page devoted to these World War I testimonies by young, single North Dakota nurses would raise students' pulses and fix that state's location in their mental map of the United States. Douglas S. Denbow, Lexington, Ohio. I never even thought about giving up. As a medic assigned to an infantry battalion in Vietnam, I can relate to Diane Carlson Evans's story, October. Those hard-working nurses took over where we field medics left off. To her and the rest of the women who are Vietnam veterans, I say, welcome home, sister. That's a greeting I give to all Vietnam vets, wherever I happen to meet them. I feel someone has to say it, and it might as well be me. Harold Shank, Salem, Oregon. I read the article about Diane Carlson Evans's time as a Vietnam combat nurse. As a matter of fact, I read it twice. It commanded rapt attention from me, as I, too, went back in time to the late 1960s and early 1970. I remember how rough it was returning to my small hometown. I did not have PTSD. We didn't know what it was then. But I knew I was a duck out of water. The only people who understood me were others who had been there and come back radically changed. Carlson Evans is to be commended for her perseverance in getting a memorial statue placed on the National Mall, because those combat nurses were a vital piece of the med units in Vietnam. They had to deal with much more horror than the average Joe over there. I could go on, but this article is among the best ones I have ever read in your magazine. Tom Tucker, Goodlettsville, Tennessee. I was too young to go to Vietnam, but I read several books about nurses who served. I knew if there was another war, I would want someone to take care of my brothers. I became a licensed practical nurse and went into the Air Force Reserve as an aeromedical tech in 1985. In 1993, I obtained a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. That was the year the Vietnam Women's Memorial came to San Antonio. I had a late class and vowed I would see it before they moved it to Austin. It had a great influence on my military career. I got my commission and became a flight nurse, which allowed me to combine my love of flying and medicine. I was a flyer for more than 26 years. I became the chief nurse in a non-flying squadron, but we still worked with the wounded on the ground, preparing for flight. As nurses retired, I remembered the memorial statue. I found out replicas were available, and they ended up being the gift that said it all for a military nurse. We wait for the next aircraft to come in and take our wounded home. Barbara Seawick, Leon, Iowa. I wanted to commend you for the fine articles written on women in the nurse corps. I, too, served in the military medical corps during the Vietnam era and Operation Desert Storm. Although never in a combat situation, I was up front and personal with many returning service members. As a woman veteran, it was nice to see the recognition, which is deserved and a long time coming. I met Diane Carlson Evans when she was fundraising for the Vietnam Women's Memorial, so I know her dedication. As a woman, I always stood proud and wore my uniform without fear. I had great examples of a father and two brothers who also served with pride. Mary Ann Borcherding, Elmwood Park, New Jersey. When reading John Kellner's memories of recovering from combat wounds, I realized that I was one of the nurses he was thanking. I was stationed with the Air Force Nurse Corps at Tachikawa Air Base, Japan, in 1967. Then I realized that John and I live only 6 miles apart here in western New York State. I just got off the phone with him after a long talk about his evacuation and recovery. We're going to have a beer and another long talk next week. Florence E. Wood Hatch, Lancaster, New York. Sanctuary Cities. After reading the article on defunding immigrant sanctuary cities, Big Issues, October, I was frustrated and angry. We will never come to an agreement because the two sides are not talking about the same issue. Representative Bob Goodlatte introduced a bill dealing with unlawful and criminal immigrants, which makes it clear that not all immigrants are unlawful and criminal. In fact, the majority are good people. He then states a couple of instances supporting his reasoning for this bill. Representative Mike Quigley, however, does not even use the words unlawful or criminal. He says the opposition's strategy is to attack law-abiding immigrants by targeting cities that welcome them as productive members of their communities. No, it's targeting unlawful and criminal immigrants. There is a difference, but the left will not admit it. They lump everyone into one group and call us xenophobic and discriminatory when we don't agree with them. Our immigration problem isn't something new. It's the result of not following the law years ago. Politicians pick and choose which laws they will enforce. If we don't like a law, change it. Until then, it should be enforced. Steve Schuler, Peotown, Illinois. Sanctuary cities unlawfully shield from U.S. immigration law those who entered this country criminally. They have nothing to do with legal immigrants who are protected by law and do not need sanctuary. I'm sure Representative Mike Quigley is aware of this, but he disingenuously conflates undocumented and legal immigrants to bolster his case for sanctuary cities. Mike Nielsen, Pine Ridge, Florida. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46206. Magazine at legion.org.